All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so true. We have to be careful of what we say. That's kind of a review here today, isn't it? Be careful what we say. We had a little song in our Bible school and in our kids club here, and it was, be careful little eyes what you see, be careful little ears what you hear, be careful little mouth what you say. I think that was in there, wasn't it? Be careful little feet where you go. Yeah. So it's all of our choices. We need to be careful. I want to talk today just a little bit about secrets then. You know, we learned that our video had about secrets about other people. Okay. And those move pretty fast. Secrets of other people move fast. But there are secrets of the kingdom of God that God wants to reveal to his people. Okay. Seems like they move slower because we just don't give them the time to reveal those secrets to us. Okay. Better secrets, right? Better secrets than secrets about other people. Secrets of the kingdom. That's what I called this. All right. So we'll just take a few minutes. I'll also give a report on some of the things that are happening in Asia too. Secrets of the kingdom. There's a verse that we talked a lot about in Bible school, and that was Jeremiah 33:3. And it's actually, we called it the phone number of the Lord. You got his phone number? Jeremiah 33:3. You got his phone number? And we called it that because of what it says. All right. So the next one is the Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. Not call to me and, hey, I might say something. No, it's call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about. He says he's going to tell us things that we don't know anything about. Okay, it's going to be new. It's going to be new. I was reading in Alex's Bible, Seven Arrows Bible, and that verse actually says, I'm going to tell you things that are incomprehensible. I thought it was a little high for an 8-year-old, but okay. Incomprehensible. I'm going to tell you things that are incomprehensible. Incomprehensible means you can't understand it. You cannot comprehend what he's going to tell you until he tells you. Because it comes with revelation. It comes with revelation. God reveals things to us. So they are, from one point, they're incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend them. But he reveals them to us. It's like God just pulls back the curtain and reveals. As God reveals things to us, what's that called? It's called revelation. That's where we get that word, from reveal. He reveals things to us, right? And incomprehensible things, all right, which we didn't understand or know about before. So it's going to be new things that he reveals to us, okay? Next. So I better put a couple other verses here about the secrets of God, all right? Revealing secrets. God wants to reveal secrets to us, and that's the truth. Psalm 25:14 says, there's a private place reserved for the lovers of God, where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Okay? We sit near him and we get revelation secrets of his promises, of the things that he's already said. Okay, that's Psalm 25:14. That's the Passion Translation, I believe. All right, go ahead. Next. Isaiah 45:3 says, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. There's those secrets again. God wants to. We've been in our worship, we've just been saying, God, you're the same. Yesterday, today, forever. You are the same God. You're the same God. He still wants to do this. And I've given you these things, these treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, so you can know that I, the Lord, which call thee by your name, which call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Okay, you're going to know that God is God as he reveals things to us. We know more that he is the God of the universe. Okay, go ahead. And then Matthew, got some Old Testament, got to have some New Testament in here too, just to prove what I'm saying, right? All right, Matthew 13:35 says, he did this in order, Jesus did this in order to fulfill the prophecy, I will speak to you in parables. I will, what? Reveal what? Secrets that have been concealed since before the foundation of the world. Okay? This whole thing that God wants to do is reveal to us secrets that have been held, hidden since the foundation of the world. And he says, I will reveal secrets to you. All right? He's talking here. He's talking to his disciples. And he told the disciples, go ahead, back, next one, yeah. And he told them, the disciples, you have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those who are outside, everything is in parables. Okay? Everything's in parables. So what we want to ask for in our lives is revelation of secrets. And that can just be a prayer, the call to God, and he will answer. The phone number of the Lord. Call on me and I will answer you and I will show you secrets, incomprehensible secrets for you. All right? But it's not for everybody. This doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. It has to do with your eagerness to know God more. Okay? How eager are you? Like Pastor Mike always says, how big is your want to? I want to know you, God. How big is your want to? All right? Okay. Next, here we go. Strategic level spiritual warfare. So one of the things I did while I was on in Asia is I do some strategic level warfare, spirit warfare. And that is changing nations. All right? So you guys were praying for me when right before I left. And one of the things that came out several times as you were praying for me was something about your feet are going to want to go direction, one direction, but I will lead you another direction. And so I want to show you what this strategic level spiritual warfare was and how God was just leading step by step. So I moved into the biggest, largest nation and just began walking and say, God, would you lead me in this strategic spiritual warfare? I want to tear down strongholds. I want to see nations change. And so as in my prayers, I was praying, and all of a sudden, I'm praying that the King of Glory will come. The King of Glory will show himself. Now, God always confirms the things that you're praying, it seems like. So that's what I'm praying. I'm just walking down the street, and all of a sudden, I get this walk past this shopping mall, which is the next one. Will the King of Glory come? And I was shocked to see this as I look up, a shopping plaza, and here it is, King Glory Plaza. I said, oh my goodness. Okay, Lord, I'm on the right track. You keep showing me, I'll keep praying. So I just kept praying and asking the Lord for more and more and more. And I said, not yet, not yet. Okay. It was in the biggest country. Yes, you're right. In the southern part. Okay. So I have to be careful because they're recording here. All right. So in the southern part where I've spent a lot of time, And I see that thing right away. And then I said, Lord, this is fabulous. So I said, let me just walk through this plaza and I'll just do some strategic warfare in here. And so I was walking through the plaza and I started praying the song that we sing, another one, another one, another one. We want another miracle, right? We want another miracle. And I was actually praying for another time in history like we have seen. In this great land. I said, we need another time just like that where the King of Glory shows up. And as I walk around the corner, there it is, a shop by this name. I've never seen a shop by this name before. But I said, Whoa, another confirmation. We want another one, another time of the King of Glory pouring out his Spirit. And I thought, this is going to be a good day. This is going to be, there was, at that song, the at that time, the I was singing the song, Forrest Frank's song, It's Going to Be a Good Day. Okay? The sun is shining down on me. The birds are singing. It's going to be a good day. Okay? God is close. You know that song? It's going to be a good day, Forrest Frank. Nice. Okay? No way, really? Okay. Awesome. Awesome, yeah. I like that. I like that song. So I was just singing that, and I went to another, went a little bit farther, and I see a big office building, and I look inside, and here's what it says. On the wall. I go, today's going to be a good day. I said, oh, yeah. Okay, Lord, I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track. So as we continue in our spirit warfare, changing nations, and God gives you something to pray, he is going to confirm those prayers for us, okay? He's going to confirm those prayers. This is spirit warfare, changing nations. God says in Psalm 2:8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. I'll give them to you. He said that, so I'm asking. Give us the nations. And this was changing this nation. Since this time, this is just this spring, and since this time we're starting to see changes in that big nation already. So wonderful things are happening. Bad things that are going to lead to wonderful things are happening. All right, let's go on here a little bit. I got an opportunity to move down into Malaysia, and I was teaching in a couple of our schools down there. This is one group, and this is a discipleship training school. So the staff of this discipleship training school, I have been teaching in most of their DTSs over the last 5 or 6 years. So good. It was a good group, and lots of questions. One of the questions that came out, because a lot of my teaching, there's some points there. There's a form to the teaching, but a lot of it is sharing testimonies, okay? Sharing testimony of what I have seen God do, all right? And then they're all encouraged, and they want to see God do the same things. I said, yeah, he's the same God. He can do the same things. Not a problem. Not difficult for him, okay? Doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. It's for your eagerness and your want to. All right. So this was the discipleship training school, and I had a good time with them, and they were very open, and they went on outreach to Brunei, and then they turned around and went back up into Japan. So we see a lot of our teams going to Japan right now. God's doing something in Japan that we've been waiting 25 years for. And God's doing it now. So it's pretty exciting there. So that was the discipleship training school. That's the entry level. So these are beginners. Most of the, you see the ages of them, 15 to 26, where God is working in that age group around the planet. Now this is a second level school. It's called the School of Evangelism. And I taught on cross-cultural evangelism to these guys. You can see they're a bit wild. And I, over the last 5 years, I've actually taught in all of their big first classes, their discipleship training schools. And so these guys were learning how to do evangelism. They were going out to do evangelism every day and just seeing God work in power. Basically, they're doing power evangelism. And I'm helping them with their cross-cultural aspect of power evangelism. Power evangelism is where you see the power of God released in your evangelism. They're wild. You can tell by that photo, I guess, yeah? A bit wild. And they actually, right this week, I just got a note from them. They're in Kenya, in Africa, and they're doing a large evangelistic meeting. About 2,000 people showed up. And so they just see the power of God released in there, which is healings, miracles, deliverance. And I just got a testimony from them yesterday where a guy came forward and he was and accepted Jesus. And he said, I have to tell you something. And he said, he was probably in his 30s, I suppose. He said, I'm a gang leader. I lead a gang. And we came here because there's 2,000 people and they're all outside, 2,000 people in the evangelistic meeting. And we came here to rob people. We're just going to go through the crowd of 2,000 people and rob them. We're good at pickpocketing and things like that. But when I stepped my foot on the ground, I fell to the ground face first. And I just laid there. My gang of 15 other people, they looked at me and said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And they got afraid and they ran away. But once the music finished, I stood up and said, "Where'd my team go? Where'd my gang go? What happened?" And I heard what you were saying. And I gave my life to Jesus. And so he was up on stage just telling him what he had come to do and how the power of God affected him so much that he said, "This is the God I want to know. This is the God I want to serve. This is the God." And it surprised me because I'm a gang leader. So that just happened 2 days ago. Okay, so these guys, after teaching them cross-cultural evangelism, they're doing it. They're in Indonesia, Laos, and also in Kenya. They'll be back in a couple of weeks. All right, next one. I named this Blue Shirt Evangelism because I go out with the discipleship training school and they're doing evangelism. They're learning how to do evangelism. So I just join with them. And one afternoon, we're going to go to a particular university in this area, big university. And we pray before we pray at the gate or right before we get to the gate of the university. And we say, "Lord, what do you have for us today? Who are we supposed to talk to today? Who do you have on this campus? Thousands of students." And he was telling us several things, and we were writing them down. You're going to find a couple of people working on a computer at a table in the cafeteria. Talk to them. You're going to find this person doing this. Talk to them. You're going to find a girl that's with another group. That talk to them. And I got blue shirt. Blue shirt. I said, "Oh," so I had to tell him. I said, "Okay, can you write this down too? I think the Lord just told me blue shirt." So we'll look for somebody in a blue shirt and tell them about Jesus. All right. So the name came after the day. All right. The name of Blue Shirt Evangelism came after the day. All right. So because this is what happened. Go to the next one. We walk onto campus. The first thing we see is a guy holding a crutch and limping across the campus. So we walk up to him and he's with a friend. And it turns out we say, "Where are you from?" Because you want to talk to him a little bit. We say, "What happened to you?" And he said he just had an operation on his knee. And the guy I'm with, a DTS student, he said, "Can we pray for you?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." "So where are you from?" "He's from Turkmenistan, which is Central Asia." Okay, Central Asia. And he's going to school here in this place. And so we talked to him at Turkmenistan. We prayed for him. And he said, "Something's happening. Something's happening. It doesn't hurt as bad as it did when I met you." And then there's another guy with him. And so we'd like to find out where they're from. So I said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Guess. Guess." And I looked at him and I said, "I think you're from Kazakhstan." He said, "What? Nobody can guess that. Nobody says Kazakhstan. The whole university, nobody knows I'm from Kazakhstan." I said, "How'd you know?" I said, "Well, I think it must be God. And we want to pray for you and bless you." They weren't ready to believe in Jesus because they're Muslims, okay? So we said, we want to pray for you and bless you. We saw the guy get some healing, some relief in his leg, and the guy from Kazakhstan was surprised that we knew where he was from. Kazakhstan. Have you ever been to Kazakhstan? Okay, so we started praying for them and just blessed them in the name of Jesus. We blessed them and had a good time blessing them. They said, "You know, we got to go to class. We want to talk to you more, but we really have to go to class." So they left. Turkmenistan Muslim, Kazakhstan Muslim, and they were somewhat open. We went a little bit farther and met a guy from Egypt, and his friend was from Lebanon. They always go in pairs, okay? Always in pairs, like college students, hanging in groups and going in twos. Got one guy was from Egypt, the other guy was from Lebanon, from Beirut, as a matter of fact, where, 32 different sects are trying to claim ownership of Beirut. So what do you do with that? Okay, so we met them. So because Beirut has so many different sects or so many groups of different Muslims, I asked the guy from Lebanon, I say, hey, you're from Beirut. What sect are you with? You know, are you a Shiite? Are you a Sunni? Or are you a Sufi? He said, I'm a Sufi. How'd you know that? I said, well, I'm just taking a guess. You know, you're a Sufi, right? All right, give me the scoop. Are you, that's the mystical side of Islam, okay? And so I said, are you connecting with the beloved? Because that's in their poetry and in their music. So I said, are you connecting with the beloved? He said, oh, I really, really, really want to. That's what I want. I said, well, I can help you out a little bit. So we shared a little bit with him. And we said, we want to pray for you. I had this other guy with me, you know, on our, because we went out by twos. And I said, we want to just bless you. Now, the guy from Egypt was a Muslim also. And we said, can we pray for you? Can we pray for you? He said, no, I can't. It's against my religion. I cannot have anyone else pray for me as to be the leader of the mosque. I said, that's no problem. You mind if we bless this guy in front of you? No, go ahead. So we're blessing the guy from Beirut, Lebanon. And God is just beginning to move, and we're starting to prophesy over him. And while the Egyptian guy is standing there, but if this was the guy from Beirut, we're blessing him, the Egyptian guy goes like this. Me too. After he heard what the blessing that was coming, that God was blessing the guy from Beirut, he said, me too. I want some of this. I thought, oh, we're getting some openness here from, I cannot let anyone else pray for me. But when he saw the power of God, Pray for me too. Yeah, this is different. This is different than what I've seen. You know, the largest Christian church is in Cairo, Egypt. Been around for 2,000 years. It's the Coptic Christians. And they have they built their sanctuaries in the side of a mountain. So they just carved out the mountain. And they meet in these caves. One cave, not a small cave that you'd have to bend over. The cave, one of the caves holds 6,000 people, all right? It's all open on the backside in the mountain. Another one is holds 2,000. Another one holds 1,000. They've got all these side by side. That's the largest Christian church with buildings and carvings in Middle East. So Egypt, Cairo. How many of you been there? Yeah, wonderful place. It's called the Church in the Rock. Okay, because it was carved out of rock. So you can actually look that up on your internet and you will see pictures of it. Beautiful carvings on the outside of it too. It's been there for thousands of years. All right. Lebanon. We also met a guy from Malay. Now, this is one of the things we got in intercession. And that was, find somebody working on a computer and talk to him about me. That's one of the things we got at the gate where we were praying. And so we're walking along and we see a table and there's nobody around it, but there's a computer sitting there that's open. We said, this is dangerous. Somebody can come by, just pick up the computer and run. Why don't we sit here and wait for the person to come back and we'll tell them about Jesus. So we got half of the account right anyway. Okay. So, we just sat there waiting, and some guy came back, and he had some food, and he sat down. We said, hey, we're just guarding your computer. We're guarding your computer for you. We didn't want anybody to come by and steal it. He said, well, thanks a lot. We also want to tell you something. And so we spent about, probably 20 minutes just sharing about Jesus with him. And he was very open. We said, again, at the end, can we bless you? Yeah, bless me. Yeah, you bet. And so he was a Malay Muslim, which is against the law to talk to them. All right, then one of the last exciting guys that we met, we're walking along, and so far, everybody that we've talked to has had a blue shirt. So far. Okay? So now we're walking along, and we see this guy come up. He's a tall guy, and he's definitely India, from East India. And he's walking past us, and I caught his eye. He was wearing a blue shirt. That's why I caught his eye. Okay. And so we stopped. Hey, come here. Come here. I just got to tell you something. He stopped. And he's got a friend with him, another friend from India. And so we started chatting. And I said, hey, I started this way. I said, we were at the front gate of the university. And God told us to come talk to somebody with a blue shirt on. He said, I got a blue shirt on. I said, that's why we're talking to you. We think it's you. We think we're supposed to talk to you because God told us to come in on this university and talk to somebody with a blue shirt. And that's what we're doing. He said, well, talk. So we started sharing. He had plenty of time. So he's just listening to us. He's starting to ask questions. And we're telling him that God had a purpose and a plan for him because God brought us to this university to talk to him in a blue shirt. Same with his friend. His friend was wearing a blue shirt. I don't know what the deal was with blue shirts that day. Friend was wearing a blue shirt too. And so he's saying, he said, this is really interesting. And he's laughing part of the time. And he said, you'll never believe my account, what I believe. He said, I'm an agnostic. I said, now that is interesting. Why are you agnostic? He said, my father is Christian. My mother is Hindu. And I said, everybody's mixed up. I'm not going to believe in God. Maybe there's a big being up there, but I'm not going to do that. I said, well, God brought us here to tell you specifically that he has a plan for your life and you can walk in it. You can walk in God's plan for your life and he knows your name. He said, you know what my name is? I said, I don't know. He said, my name is Gabriel. I said, is that obvious or what? God knows your name. He's got a plan for your life. You're wearing a blue shirt today. Who knew? God knew. And he said, this is amazing. This has never happened to me before. I said, can we bless you and your friend? He said, yeah. So we blessed them that God would use the truth that we shared for them and make it real to them. But this was our evangelism, our blue shirt evangelism day. Actually, the guy that I was with didn't recognize that the people we were talking to all wore blue shirts. I started asking him, hey, what color was their shirt? He said, it was blue. That's pretty cool, eh? We go to the next guy and I said, hey, what color was his shirt? It was blue. I said, you see the connection? God told us to talk to people with blue shirts. And we've been talking to people with blue shirts all afternoon. We spent about 5 hours on the university and just had a blast, had fun with that. God wants to reveal to us secrets. He wants to pull the curtain on how to live with him, how to hear him, how to follow him step by step. He wants to reveal to us the secrets of the kingdom. I think that's it, right? Is there another one? There we go, prayer in action. So God wants to reveal to you and to me and his followers, his disciples, he wants to reveal to us the secrets of the kingdom. There are more. They're incomprehensible. There's a lot of them, okay? He could reveal secrets to us all day long and we wouldn't get to the end of the secrets of the kingdom. He wants to reveal them. He's going to do that this week for each of you if you want. You got the want to. Are you eager for him to reveal secrets to you? Are you eager? Because he wants to. He wants to. All right. So bow your hearts with me in prayer. And this is an impartation. This is an impartation. God will impart this to you. And you will be getting new secrets that he is revealing to you this week. You've already picked up a lot of secrets, but he's going to reveal new ones that you have not comprehended before. All right, here you go. Hold out your hands. This is an impartation. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the secrets that you want to show us. Each person here, Lord, you want to show us new secrets, things that we have not seen or known before. But they're going to be new. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we ask for that impartation. Lord, this week we will be understanding, we'll be receiving revelation of new secrets of the kingdom. You have this for us. And Lord, we want to walk in it. We want to walk in this, Lord. You have new secrets for us every day, every week, every month. Thank you, Lord. The secrets that he will show you are for you to share with others. They're usually secrets of how great he is, his marvelous character. The secrets that he will show you, you can share with others. Thank you, Lord. Your word is true. Your word says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you new and marvelous things that you do not know. And Lord, we're all open for that. And Lord, we look for you to share with us new things this week. Lord, you always got new things for us. Always got new things. I think the Lord is just saying to all of us, open your eyes, and I'm going to show you new things this week. Look around you. There's going to be new things that you did not know before. You're going to see my hand in them. You're going to see me working through you. You're going to see me working in your life. I have new things for you. And I enjoy showing you new things. In Jesus' name, amen.